This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Finally, game day. Looking forward to that with the Sun Devils taking on New Mexico State tonight. Diamondbacks have a day game against the Dodgers today. I was at the ballpark last night. Eric, you were you dove on out there as well. I did not know that.
I did. I sat in the stands. My wife is a Dodger fan.
How much
so
you pay
to go to sit in the stands?
Yes.
Not very much.
That would start with an F and end with an E.
Yeah, right? But they made it back. I mean, we ate. Let's see, we got a Sonoran dog. We got some nachos.
Sonoran dog. What is that?
Let's see. That is a foot long bacon wrapped.
And you're still here.
Hot dog.
You're on the right side of the grass.
Mayonnaise, pico de gallo.
Mayonnaise and pico. Oh God.
You shared.
Yeah, I'm sure you shared.
We shared.
Yeah, that's what married couples do. I was fortunate last. I got a text while I was teaching yesterday. Hey, and it's some John Slater's great people, and Tom Mareel, Mareel Slater, that have been part of us through the years. He said, "Hey, we have a suite. Why don't you come on up and hang out?"
Nice.
Yeah, it was one of those like 4:30 things. So I had to sit in front of all these nitwit juniors and seniors and do my thing for an hour and 15 minutes. And then in the back of my head, it's like, I don't want to be here. I want to be at the ballpark. But I was brilliant, so I went to the park.
Two takeaways quickly from the Diamondback game.
Yeah.
Me. You ready? First takeaway.
Okay.
The Dodgers are bored.
Yes.
Second takeaway. If you would have taken the Dodger fans out of Chase Field last night, there probably would have been about 10,000 people in the ballpark.
So I'm just wondering, do we in the media...
Which is so wrong on so many levels.
Okay, so I'm not going to beat you up over this. Because it's not about you. Do we do way too much on fans doing the wave? I used to do that way back when the team first started. And whether they're more Diamondback fans or Dodger fans or the Beat LA chant, or do we do a bunch of things that have nothing at all to do with the game, but we're just talking about fandom?
I could care less about the wave. I could care less about Beat LA. Attendance is a little bit different issue to me.
Okay.
The ballpark's too big. The baseball team's really good.
Yep.
Really fun to watch.
Yep.
Playing great baseball.
Yes.
Playing the team they're chasing in the NL West that they're not going to catch, but still a rival in the NL West.
Who's bored?
I understand it's a Wednesday night. Not a good crowd.
So
not good, and that's not fair to the Diamondbacks because they deserve to play in front of more people. And you could say, oh, yeah, the TV numbers are way up. But if you're out of market and you're watching that game last night, they're laughing at Phoenix.
Okay, so you're right, first of all. But second of all, this goes back to my conversation with you about how I am siding with the Diamondbacks ownership. And moreover than that, I am one that have said for the last 2 years, they are in the wrong part of town.
No question.
The center of the universe is not Central and Washington or Jefferson anymore.
It probably was in 1996.
It was in 1996. So this is very simple. Your fan base is not down there. Your fan base is out at the 101 and the 202.
You could make the same case for the soccer team. Look at how that attendance has spiked since they relocated from the far West Valley to a nice central location.
Well, and I think part of that, too, is
in the East Valley.
They have a solid, stable ownership.
They do.
And it was just Kyle trying to do it by
himself. And a couple stars.
Yeah, a couple stars. But, you know, Bravo's not even going to play anymore. He's done. And Drogba's been hurt the last few weeks. And, yes, you're right. You're right about the soccer. But if all we're about was location, then why doesn't ASU draw more than flies? Like tonight, you're going to go to the game against New Mexico State. They're going to announce some false number, like 55,000 in attendance, and that's not even going to be close.
It's only false. It's different. I mean, they probably did sell 55,000 tickets, but there will not be 55,000 people there tonight. So.
No way. But the point here is, economically, when there's 2 million people that are going to move southeast of the 101, 202 in the next 20 years, and all that is out there now is dirt, It's like where you live. Eric lives on the north side of the valley. When Eric first built out there, not built, when you first bought out there, you probably have made a little bit of money on your investment of your home.
Quite a bit in 2 years.
Yes, yes.
Quite a bit.
Right. And so, but from your house to the ballpark is probably 25 minutes?
About a half hour.
Okay. You know where I live, and out there it is booming. I mean, booming on every corner of houses being built. Those people are 45 to 50 minutes away from downtown. They are. And so the Diamondbacks ownership is very smart on this. Now, economists will say to me, some of them, you're wrong. You're missing the point. Commerce is downtown. We need a vibrant downtown. I've been hearing about vibrant downtown since I got here on December 10th of 1994. It hasn't happened, and it's not going to happen. You're going to have a bunch of little nice bars. Cityscape's a nice project. Sing Hi is still down there doing their thing after all these years. And they have the convention center that books some things out, but you can still fire a cannon off down there, and you're not going to hit many people on a Wednesday night. You're just not. The light rail's fine. I love taking the rail down there. The rail that was very poor planning. There are certain municipalities. City of Chandler didn't want to run a spur all the way out to the mall, which would have run people down there. So this is more than, wow, nobody's coming to the ballpark. No, this is the Diamondback ownership group sees it. We have to move closer to the fan base. We have too many nights on a Monday through Thursday night. We are not seeing the right zip code. I've been told this internally over there. We are not seeing the right zip codes come through Monday through Thursday night crowds. It's very easy to spike numbers and make them look great when it's a Friday night and they're giving away a Chia Pet gnome. You know, it just is. Everybody wants a Chia Pet gnome. I want a Chia Pet gnome. But I think, like last night, I'm just kind of numb to, there was very little buzz last night. Goldschmidt hits a home run. The place goes crazy. The Diamondbacks get a big lead. Place is, you know, kind of loud. I listen to the game going home, and the announcers are complaining about how there's not much vibe or buzz in there. Announcers should just stick to the game, and I don't need announcers telling me if there's buzz in the ballpark or not. Tell me where the location of the pitch was. Don't just say strike one. Tell me where it was. Lazy. So I guess when I hear the whole thing about the atmosphere at the ballpark, Eric, I'm kind of numb on that deal. This is a team that it's August 31st, and here they are having taken two in a row from their arch rival, and they're in a great position now. After 2 weeks ago, we thought they'd fallen off the ledge. They'd fallen off the cliff. And I just don't want to get into the day after day of, boy, there was a bad crowd. This isn't directed towards you. It's just people say, well, there's not many people there. I don't know. Do you see how far Goldschmidt hit it last night? Is Rodney like the ultimate high rope tap that you're going to see ever, right?
But you're just making the case as to why there should be more people in the stadium to see the potential NL MVP, to watch a closer who is always entertaining, to see Lamb rake.
You're right.
It's just, there's so many different storylines. This team, over the past few years, Brad, the Diamondbacks have been boring. They've just been a boring team. This year, they're the opposite of boring, and no one is going to the games.
But if I'm the normal person, I get off here doing the show, and I drive out to East Valley at 2 in the afternoon. Am I going to sit there and say, you know what? What a great idea. Let's get some tickets, honey. It's 32 miles down to the ballpark.
And
okay,
let's go. It's not easy to zigzag through downtown in rush hour to get to a 6:40 game. There's no doubt about that.
But if you're at the 101, 202, I got a lot of spurs to get in there. I got a lot of different ways I can get in there. And so it speaks to that. They have Greinke on the mound today. Is sweeping the Dodgers like a great accomplishment?
Yes, but they're bored.
Yeah, to Eric's point here, is it something why, you know, we hear the whole Beat LA chant. It doesn't matter what sport it is here in Phoenix. For some reason, somebody somewhere started Beat LA. When you're getting your head drilled in and you're the Suns and you're winning 15 games, how about just beat anybody? Beat ATL. Beat anybody. Start that chant. Beat somebody. When you're the Coyotes and you're constantly awful, beat somebody. Beat somebody. That'll be my chant. We have the ASU New Mexico State game tonight. A little bit later, we're going to get into that.
The Dodgers have lost four in a row. We're still not in September, and they have 91 wins.
That's awesome.
Just think about that.
And, you know, if this if the games weren't close, do you think the Dodgers would have retaliated last night? Cody got popped in
the
back.
Yeah, probably.
I think, was it Utley that got popped last night?
Yeah.
Two of them got popped last night.
But Utley's was just a curveball that Ray threw. That was not a – I know the timing on that was interesting, but – I mean, it was like a breaking ball, hit him right in the back.
Okay, and they play each other next week.
They do.
That would add a little bit to something. I mean, you have to look at that stuff. Getting a couple guys. Cody's thing, that was a hard one that hit him last night. Ed Cunningham is on my radar today. Those of you that have been here longer than a nanosecond, and even if you haven't, Ed Cunningham was with the Arizona Cardinals when they were the Phoenix Cardinals. Ed used to host a show when I first got here into town. I got to know Ed a little bit. And I found Ed to be one of these really, really smart guys that wasn't just a football guy. Not that football guys are dopes, but most of them just want to talk about football. And Ed was more interested in anything but football. And I gravitate towards that. That's what I want. So Ed decided, this was in the New York Times, Ed decided that he has had enough of football. So a college football analyst, one of the top college football analysts in the country with ABC and ESPN. Eric, where would you put him in terms of analysts? Would you put him as the top two? Would you put him as the top three? Where would you put Ed Cunningham in your
analysts?
Sorry,
I'm training interns here.
That's fine.
Part-time employees now. Justin Toscano.
Justin's part-time.
Former intern. So what was the question?
Ed, where do you put Ed Cunningham in your list of analysts?
Near the top. I like Ed Cunningham. I really like him with Mike Patrick because I think Mike Patrick doesn't get used enough. So Ed Cunningham, very good analyst.
When
and I still can't believe he used to play for the Cardinals and have a beard and weigh like 350 pounds.
He was a Stay Puft Marshmallow
it
guy.
It did not surprise me what Ed Cunningham did because Ed Cunningham has always been a forward-thinking individual.
Mm-hmm.
He has a lot of interests outside of the game. He's a businessman. So it didn't totally surprise me.
So I'm going to go through some of the changes he is suggesting to football. And he's not anti-football. But we've never seen a broadcaster just say, I'm out. We've seen players. We've read trees and trees, reams of trees, about why the game is not safe because of concussions. But we've never had a leading college football analyst say, I'm out. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to explain that a little bit later, what his rationale was. One, and some of the changes that he is suggesting, and I think if you open your mind up to some of these, some are a little out there. I'll be the first to admit it. Some aren't bad. We are going to go to Vegas next. Jimmy Vaccaro. Jimmy is going to be with us, as always, South Point Casino Resort Sports Marketing Director. Jimmy Vaccaro is the start of college football season tonight. Buckeye line's got to be like 50 against Indiana. Does he even have a line, ASU, New Mexico State? I saw where it's like 20 and a half. It's got to be more than that. We'll talk to Jimmy about all the lines, all the betting. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Let's go to Vegas. It is the start of the college football season tonight. In earnest, there was a few games last weekend, but it's all getting underway tonight. Not that Arizona State hosting New Mexico State, a game that Eric is going to be any great shakes. Nonetheless, with all the college games getting started, including Ohio State, Oklahoma State, we need to go to Vegas. Because it's time to talk to Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino Resort, Sports Marketing Director of the South Point Casino Resort. A terrific place to stay for all of you here in Arizona that take us in and day out. You head on up there. And Jimmy and the gang, they get it done right. And you can check out the Vissen Show that's up there with Brent Musburger and a whole lot more. How are you, Jimmy?
Pretty good. Thank you for the introduction there, young man. And yes, it is the first full weekend of college football. And you bounce off a weekend where there's obviously a big attraction and event with the fight last weekend. And here we go. And I am ready. These are things that keep me going at this old age, my friend.
I do want to ask you about the fight. How did it work for Vegas, Jimmy? I've heard it both ways.
Well, first of all, it wasn't going to be disastrous if the underdog would have won there. Naturally, it would have been no good, but nothing is disastrous because obviously, you know, we have a lot of money to overcome everything. But
yes,
the big bets are on the favorite as we anticipated. All the small tickets, about 12-1 was on the underdog. So I would say successful that we did very, very well. The entire city and industry did for the entire weekend.
All right, let's get into the college football then. Eric is going to the Arizona State New Mexico State game tonight. That's not even on the board, is it, Jimmy? I mean, can you get something there on it?
Oh, absolutely, my friend. Yeah. New Mexico State has been a lot of money on them. We opened the game 26, and we're down to 22. And, you know, there's always something, no matter what it is. Forget about Ohio State, Indiana, if you have a bet on New Mexico State. One interesting thing, Brent, as a breath, as you were talking about, was simply that, you know, no matter what happens, there's always something going on. We had a gentleman come in yesterday, bet $9,000. Arizona State over the 5 wins for this season.
What?
Actually, both Arizona teams are down for the year. Arizona's win total was 4.5, and Arizona State was 5. But we had a guy bet 9,000 that Arizona State would win more than 5 games. So it's an interesting year, and it hasn't even started.
Yeah, well, that is a good one, because that's going to be a tough one for them. I don't see 5 wins, but hey, if you got it, knock yourself out, have some fun. Jimmy Vaccaro with us. All right. So Indiana, Ohio State, what's the view in Vegas?
Bouncing back and forth, the so-called wise guys are all over in Indiana. When the game goes to 21, we get a lot of action real quick on Indiana from the so-called wise guys. But the general public is in love with teams like Ohio State. And as soon as we go to 20.5, we just get just a lot of money on the 20.5. So it's bouncing back and forth, 21, 20.5. I think the game will go off 21 because we'll be overpowered by parlays come early this afternoon on Ohio State.
Florida, Michigan.
Wow, big time gamer. About a month and a half ago, a gentleman came up at $29,000 on Florida, plus the 5 points. Well, naturally, he didn't know about the suspensions.
Yep.
So naturally, after everything settled down, the game is right around 3.5 and 4 in most of the places in Las Vegas. Even with the suspensions, my friend, you know, I think the bet's more against Michigan only because they lost so many players last year. But we'll see what happens. But quite a big game for early on in the season. This will draw a lot and a lot of attention, my friend.
Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino Resort Sports Marketing Director. Head on over to the South Point Casino around Arizona as you head on up there. You will not be disappointed for sure. Florida State, Alabama, Jimmy.
Oh, what can I tell you, my friend? We opened Alabama 3.5 a long time ago, pushed clear up to 7.5. We're getting a lot of buyback at the 7.5. I think we just went to 7 this morning before I got to the South Point. This game is, what can you say about opening up the season? The game's naturally on a neutral, but here's what's going to happen again. The wise guys are going to be all over Florida State late, but there'll be teaser action aplenty for Alabama. And it's just like the same category as Ohio State. Anytime one of these marks key teams get involved, we know what's going to happen. But in this case, they're fighting a pretty good Florida State game team, and this will draw super attention, my friend.
USC, Western Michigan, our final game of the day.
USC is one of the new guys on the block out here. Naturally, they've been down for a few years. Opened this game real low. We're way high on it again because, first of all, USC is taking money to win the Pac-12. USC is taking money over the 10 wins. So we'll be rooting the entire year against USC. That I can tell you for sure, my friend.
Stay well, Jimmy. Appreciate the time as always. Thanks.
All right, buddy.
There's Jimmy Vaccaro in Vegas, South Point Casino Resort Sports Marketing Director. A couple minutes ago, during the break, it came out that the Lakers have been fined by the NBA. This is for the Paul George tampering, non-tampering. Magic Johnson was not at the press conference to discuss this, or has not been quoted as of yet. The Lakers get off on this one. You know, guys, by now, if you have not followed professional sports, you have to know that there are ways for LA teams to work through their issues. There's ways for New York teams to find out and work their way through issues. The league is better when LA is good, when New York is good. They're not better or worse when Phoenix isn't good or is good. They're just not. It's no offense. It's just a fact. Well, I see this, and it's a joke. No loss of draft picks. No probation on signing Paul George. And the Lakers are fined $500,000. Like, Magic Johnson's got that in a couple of his Starbucks that he owns. I mean, come on. This is nothing. This is just show here. And it's another example of how the NBA doesn't really have that strong of a leash on certain organizations. You know, if this were an Oklahoma City, if this were a Phoenix, if this were a Houston, I think there'd probably be some hammering going on here to make an example out of. But We can't have Magic's team be taken down. I mean, 500K, you tell me, guys. Can Magic Johnson go raise $500,000? They could probably do a GoFundMe on one of their flagship radio station, have it done in a few hours. It's silly.
I'm a little surprised, Brad, that this news broke on a Thursday morning. This seems more apropos for a Friday afternoon at about 4 o'clock.
Friday news dump.
Yep.
Friday news.
We're not just going to take this, and at about 4:30, when everyone's doing other things besides, you know,
working,
we'll just kind of place this out there, and by Saturday morning, it'll be gone. So
we're going to pardon Joe Arpaio Friday afternoon, 4:30.
Exactly.
What?
Shh, don't tell anyone.
When did this happen?
Don't tell anyone.
Did you see the Porzingis Hornacek stuff? Have you heard
most
about
recently? No.
So Peter Vesey wrote that Hornacek said to Porzingis in the exit interview, "Stop playing like a pussy." And that Porzingis was parking his car in executives' parking spots. And that Porzingis, or that Hornacek didn't say anything to Carmelo Anthony. Now, we both wanted the Suns to go after Porzingis.
Oh, so badly, bro.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I don't care who you trade. Just get him.
And I don't care if he says anything to Carmelo Anthony. I don't want Carmelo Anthony on my team. I don't. I never been a fan of that guy's game, ever. And now that he's coming to the end, I really don't want a guy that pounds nails and shoots 10 for 32 after, you know, it's just dumb. Go look at his stat lines through the years. They're just atrocious. But he plays for the Knicks. So what? But I'd like that. I can't see Hornacek saying that to somebody on one hand, and yet on the other, I can totally see him saying it.
It's one of those things where I bet the organization just finally just got sick of it and said, you know, we can't let this guy run the organization. He plays for us. We are his bosses.
Sure.
This
sure.
is, you know, you do what we tell you, not vice versa.
But so it's back on the Lakers. It's a bad day for the Suns because Paul George is going to sign with the Lakers next summer. That's just the way it's going to be. So, again, it's another team that is either right with them in terms of blowing, which the Lakers have blown, but somehow they figured out how to get Lonzo, and somehow they figured out how to get Magic in position.
And they're not going to be down for long.
No, and they're never down for long. There's always a rebuild and a retool. While there's organizations like the Suns that have now become like the old Washington Bullets, you know, the Washington Wizards, where they'd miss the playoffs like 12 out of 13 years. It's a bad day for the Suns. There's no other way to spin it. Even our guy Espo could not spin a happy face on this one. Ed Cunningham decided, as one of the leading analysts in college football, that he was going to quit his sport because of the concussion issue. It came out yesterday, and I'm going to talk about it on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. So a story caught my eye yesterday after we were off the air, and that is Ed Cunningham, someone that that I know, I would say, pretty well, and not talked to him in a while, but I've known Ed and appreciate his work and what he's all about. And Ed decided to walk away from ESPN. He was not one of those that was let go in layoffs. He admits in a New York Times story that he had a really good gig, but he is walking away from being a color analyst for college football because of the concussion issue. The first broadcaster that I'm aware of that is quitting his gig because of the concussion issue. He has been tested himself for CTE, and there are no signs of CTE, which is very good news because as an offensive lineman, when he played in the game 23 years ago now, you would think there may be some signs of it, but there are none. And that's very, very good. The issues when he first left, he said he wanted to spend more time with his kids and things like that. And then he decided to drop the bomb and say, this is why I'm getting out. Now, Ed's a very smart guy, a high thinker, someone that does not just get caught up in X's and O's. He's got a lot more going on in his world. Cunningham told ESPN, I'm reading for the New York Times now. Cunningham told ESPN executives that he was leaving to spend more time with his sons, ages 3 and 5, because of his workload as a film and television producer. He was a producer for Undefeated, a documentary about an urban high school football team, and has a string of projects lined up. Those are two of the issues, Cunningham said. He waited weeks before revealing the third, the big one with my ethical concerns. The big one was my ethical concerns. A football broadcaster sitting in a booth, by his own admission, a really good gig, six figures, yeah, it's a great pass. That's a big tackle. Yeah, check here at the A gap what's going on. Yeah, this is great. No. Quoting Ed Cunningham, I've been in the business 20 years, and it's the first time I've ever heard of anything like that. This is the ESPN coordinating producer, actually, Lee Fitting. But this is the world we live in now. This is from an ESPN executive. More and more players are stepping away in a given season or a given year, and who knows? Are there other announcers out there who have been afraid to do this? I don't know. Is he going to be a pioneer in this small niche? I don't know. Who knows what the future holds? Al Michaels was quoted in this, and Al said, quote, I don't feel that my being part of covering the National Football League is perpetrating danger. If it's not me, somebody else is going to do this. There are too many good things about football, too many things I enjoy about it. I can understand maybe somebody feeling that way, but I'd be hard-pressed to find somebody else in my business who would make that decision. Meaning, he's got a great gig. He's sitting there talking football. Let's not bite the hand that feeds us. We're all going to get rich off this. Why rock the boat? Those close to Cunningham were surprised only by the timing. Mike Patrick, the play-by-play announcer, Eric referred to him earlier, who is very good. Quote, he had certainly broadly hinted at it, but I thought it was maybe two or three seasons down the road. There was a situation that Cunningham was in the booth 10 years ago. 10 years ago he was in the booth. And Tavita Pritchard, the quarterback at Stanford, who was injured during a game against Notre Dame that Patrick and Cunningham broadcast. Cunningham was quoted 10 years ago. This was his quote. Announcers are part of the industrial complex of college football, and I think we've turned a blind eye towards the violence. We have to protect these kids, Cunningham said 10 years ago. Cunningham recounted the episode among many others. That's 10 years before I walked away, right? What took me so long? End quote. The last straw for Ed Cunningham was working the Outback Bowl in December. Iowa quarterback C.J. Beathard hobbled, taking hits and being left in the game until the final 2 minutes of a 30-3 blowout loss to Florida. Beathard went on to be taken the third round of the NFL draft. The bowl game, quote, this is quoting Ed Cunningham, quote, a game that means less than zero, still rankles Cunningham. Quote, I know some of the coaches from that team, known them for years, he said, and it was hard for me to not walk down after the game and just say, dudes, what are you doing? Really? What are you doing? These are just kids. Cunningham tears up. I get emotional. So there's things that he's not hating on football here. There's not been anything that said, I hate football. So this is not just another guy saying, you know, the game's no good. I haven't said that. I've done a lot on concussions. We're going to continue to do a lot of concussions. Probably drive Eric crazy, probably drive the staff crazy. But I am tired of the guys that are now in their 40s and 50s, and I'm even seeing it in kids younger than that, hearing about things. But guys in particular that played in the league in their 40s and 50s and beyond, and they can't function. They have anger issues. They have all sorts of things going on medically with them, and I just don't believe that the league cares. I don't believe that across the board that they care. They may say they care. I don't believe it. I think people are starting to think, Cunningham says, what should we do here? You can't throw out everything. You can't say it's all broken. You have to change the paradigm. How about it be different 20 years from now? How's it going to be? It'll be different, and I think quite a bit different, and that's okay. So because Ed is a smart guy, Ed actually has some ideas on to fix the game. First one is no contact before high school. Okay, so I'm in that space right now. My son is a seventh grader, and he has no idea what he's doing, but he wanted to go out for the flag football team at his school. He's playing offensive line, and they're teaching him. He's actually worked with Scott Peters a little bit, actually working with the kids on how to use the body without leading with the head. Of course, you have old school football guy that's standing over there at junior high flag football games. That's not the way to hit. Those coaches don't know what they're doing. This is how I did it back in the day. Dude, you're retired. You're done. You're finished. That's how it was done. It's not how it needs to be done now.
And you've probably got a whole bunch of concussions back when you played because that's the way you hit back then.
That's the way you hit back then. But I agree with that. No contact for high school. I think flag football is great. This is the first time I've had one of my kids involved in flag.
It really helps with your footwork and skills. And
sure.
It's like Kurt Warner going to play arena football. On the surface, it didn't look great, but he would not be an NFL Hall of Famer if he did not play arena football and learn, you know, releases and techniques and timing and things like that.
How about this one from Ed Cunningham, Eric? Limit the number of plays per game in which a player may participate. Something like a pitch count in baseball.
Interesting, but a real slippery slope.
How do you? Yeah,
especially with parents who most parents want their. And I don't have to tell you this, Brad. Most parents don't think their kids play enough.
Well, what if it's the NFL? What if it's college? He's not talking about just youth here. He's talking about across the board. If you're going to be a 28-year-old who's taking hundreds of hits in a stupid game like tonight in Denver that doesn't matter at all, doesn't matter at all. You're taking tread off the tire for something that doesn't account. As I'm using Ed Cunningham here, that means less than zero.
It does.
So if you're going to take tread off the tire in August, maybe there is 1,000 plays you can be in a year. What is it? The average offense, I think, is 70 plays a game.
Sounds like it. And speaking of average plays in late August, did you happen to see Robbie Ray's pitch count when he got taken out last night?
No.
1-0-0.
Right on the dot.
Right on the dot.
Yeah, that's smart. But so I think on this, if you put a pitch count like in football, in baseball, into football, yes, you're going to have people that will fight it at first. Tougher rules, Ed Cunningham. Even in-helmet sensors. Now, I've heard this one for a while now. The players who dip their heads to tackle, there'll be a sensor in their head, there would be in their helmet. There would automatically be a penalty. There would be an ejection. There would be all sorts of consequence if the sensor went off. And changes to substantially soften the exterior of the football helmet. This has been going on for quite some time, too. Make it something like memory foam to reduce the weight and its utility as a weapon. Yes, the helmets are a weapon. They are. So when you cheer for the big hits, that's a way to play football. And then the kid is 35, 40, 45, or I see it in high schoolers that have to quit the game because they're jacked up. They're messed up. Ed Cunningham is happy to talk about all of that. He just will not be doing it through a microphone while sitting in a booth high above a football field making six figures this year. He's had enough of that. And good for Ed Cunningham. You know, we got to get him on the football show. We just have to. This is, in my view, one of the bigger stories. It's like the players will walk away, but we're the ones with the microphones, and we're the ones that have to be doing more on this rather than, oh, what a big hit that was in Denver on Thursday on August 31st, a game that doesn't matter. No. Hold these guys accountable. Thanks for being with us. Our chairman of the board is Jared Nielsen. Eric Sorensen, our producer, does a great job. Justin Toscano checking in, and he's going to be part of the crew as well. Thanks for being with us. Enjoy your Thursday. Thanks for checking out this podcast on sports360az.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.